G3. The Model of Being and Its Universal Laws. Number 10A.
We were talking about dimensions and about the hierarchies within dimensions. And I was saying that naturally that hierarchy is not what one calls a control hierarchy, but a nested hierarchy, where every level is, so to say, nested in each other level. Now, a student has just given me a very nice example for a nested hierarchy, and here it is. This is it. You see? You can consider it like this, like this. Oh, for those who can't see me on the tapes, I must explain somehow. How would you explain this? This is a cup, a flap cup. Yes, is that the term? A flap cup. It has actually 1, 2, 3, 4 levels. Oh, now I understand. You see. That's much better. You see, when we speak English and not this funny kind of American, then we know. Yeah. Well, they will learn English, you know, as the time goes on. Yes. This is a collapsible cup. And it has actually this 1, 4 levels. And so on the chart, we have the 4 levels, but they are actually like this flap. Put together. So this is quite a nice symbol. Good, thank you very much. And this leads us on to see that we really should learn how to think in dimensions. Yes, that's quite a new consciousness. When we think in dimensions, then somehow when we see that they are nested, those level into each other, then naturally one can see that there must be a relationship between these levels. And that is what we then see, that these levels, in order to be just one whole, that they must be interrelated, so that there are laws of interrelationship. We also call them laws of interdependence, between the level of science with divine science, then between divine science and absolute Christian science, and especially between absolute Christian science and Christian science. That's these laws of interdependence I have explained way back in New York, 1973. They are on those tapes, and I couldn't do it better than I have done it at that time. Perhaps, I don't know, we will have time this week perhaps to point out one or the other of these laws of interdependence. But the main thing is that you know that they exist already in a very explicit way. All what we are interested at the moment in it is that through these laws of interdependence, we naturally see that these levels are a whole. We constantly ask after the criteria, is it a wholeness? Sorry, about the criterion. Do these levels symbolize a holistic idea? Yes, if they are nested, then they are holistic. They are not split up in separate watertight compartments. They are related through laws of interrelationship or interdependence. But if they are related with each other, then we suddenly come to a new idea. Then we suddenly come to the idea that therefore there must be a great dynamic taking place between those levels, or they couldn't cooperate, or they couldn't go together. So we get the sense of a dynamic sense of the system. So the system first was seen that if we look at it from various angles or structures, then we have seen that these structures have various levels or in a hierarchy, that this hierarchy is a nested hierarchy. But now we can see that something is going on in that hierarchy, that there is a constant dynamic flow going on, so that being is very dynamic. So we come to the concept of a dynamic holism, which actually is defined in ordinary language as cybernetics. So we come to the cybernetic criterion of holism, divine cybernetics, as we have already presented it many, many years ago. I think for the first time I presented it in English in Switzerland, in the summer school in Braunwald, which I have given for the English-speaking people. It was the last one for the English-speaking people. For the last 5 years, I constantly hear, when will be the next one in Switzerland? Well, for the moment, there isn't any. But we introduced the sense of divine cybernetics. What is divine cybernetics? How did we actually come to this idea? Well, it is, as I have told already last year, that when we were studying the textbook and were asking what kind of a science Mrs. Eddy does she present in her textbook, that there was one statement that puzzled us quite a bit, namely where she speaks about the science that governs the changes. So there is a science about changing. Well, changing naturally has to do with the dynamic flow of things, that it constantly changes. There must therefore be a constant flow of newness of life. And so we could see that there must be a science that governs the changes. Then little by little, as time went on, and so round about the 1960s, when cybernetics in the world was better known, we suddenly saw that this is the answer to that question. That actually cybernetics, as being presented in the world, is nothing else but the reflection of what exists in reality, because in the world nothing can go on except it is either a reflection or a deflection of a real idea. So divine cybernetics is the underlying reality for the idea of cybernetics that has been discovered in the middle of the 40s by Wiener and Shannon, both of them. And it is actually at the same time when John Dolly a few years ago began to talk about the divine infinite calculus. He wasn't talking about just calculus as we have it in mathematics, like differential calculus or infinitesimal calculus, but he was taking up what Mrs. Eddy was saying in the textbook, and which really fascinated him always and always the moment he began to study the 7 days of creation. Because at the end of the 7 days of creation, you know that Mrs. Eddy states that the 7 days of creation, as the numerals of infinity, that they will constantly bring forth the newness of life. And ends up the paragraph by saying, and thought will accept the divine infinite calculus. Now, he was naturally very interested to know what this divine infinite calculus is. And he got the first indication from Prose Work, where Mrs. Eddy says that Christian Science is the infinite calculus defining the line, plane, space and fourth dimension of spirit. So he began to realize that the divine calculus is a fourfold calculus, the line, plane, space and fourth dimension of spirit. So it is the line of spirit, the space of spirit, the plane of spirit, the space of spirit, and the fourth dimension of spirit. From there, he could find the relationship to the four sides of the holy city. And so he began to see that what Mrs. Eddy in prose work was depicting as line, plane, space, fourth dimension, the Bible was depicting as the four sides of the holy city, which Mrs. Eddy explained in the Apocalypse as Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. So from that moment on, he was taking the term divine infinite calculus as the operational sense of Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. It is an operational sense, and what is interesting to see is that Mrs. Eddy, nearly every time she uses that term calculus, she combines it with the adjective infinite. And we'll see later on the great importance that we find when we consider the term infinite in regard to the foresight of the holy city. So Mrs. Eddy, for instance, says in prose work, I begin with the numeration table of Christian Science. See, like arithmetic, one begins with the numeration table. One first has the elements, and then one begins to see how to combine these elements with the four in arithmetic. And in the same way, she translates it into the spiritual realm and says the very same thing. And says, I begin with the numeration table of Christian Science. Numeration table is actually those ideas, the numerals of infinity, the ideas of infinity. And then she goes on, I adhere to my text all the way up to the infinite calculus of the infinite God. So in this simple way, she was stating how we start out with the elements of being, just as we have done, and that we end up finally with the divine infinite calculus. Now, a calculus is naturally something very dynamic. It's a great dynamics of the digits and of the numbers, and gives a sense that with it, we can calculate infinitely every situation within the one being. So that there is not one situation in our life, there is not one situation in the whole world that would not be able to be calculated rightly through the divine infinite calculus. So if we understand something more about the seven, the elements, the numeration table, and the calculus, how we can calculate in our consciousness along the term of Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, we really have it in the palm of our hands how to help the world, because the elements are infinite, are holistic, and the four sides of the holy city are holistic. Why are they holistic, those four sides? Because they are not shown as four walls that are lined up along a line, but they are shown as a four square city, four walls that form a square where the last, the fourth, is joining the first, so that there is no breakage between the first and the last. So gives a sense again of that rhythm where there is no beginning and no end, and this is naturally the very pith of a cybernetic system, that it has no beginning, no end, because it always has a feedback to the beginning. The effect has always a feedback to the beginning. Now, don't be disturbed about this cybernetic concept. I will take about 2 hours or even more at the end of the week to explain then the divine cybernetics, so that you can rest assured that even if at this moment it is not clear at all, that doesn't matter, that I will explain it so that you are absolutely sure about what's going on. At this present moment only, I only want to bring out really that the moment we see how the fourfold calculus is a circle, so to say, that has not a beginning and an ending, but is always showing how the input, as the word, is processed through the Christ and has an output as Christianity, which then is taken as a feedback back into the input. So there is a closed loop and not a line that begins and ends somewhere. Which would mean something very important for us, namely that it would show that there is an uninterrupted evolution taking place, so that we cannot separate really the fourfold calculus, the infinite calculus, from an ever higher rising evolution. Because the cybernetic feedback always brings back to the input more information than it had before. So that through every closed loop, through every, closed circuit, we find a higher input, and that means evolution. That things always evolve higher and higher, and not the other way around, namely the counterfeit of evolution is entropy. Entropy is a term that you have to know nowadays because everybody speaks about entropy. You can't read any more a book, an intelligent book on the new science and what's going on today without constantly falling over the term entropy. Entropy is a term that comes from the old science, from physics, as the second law of thermodynamics, which is explained in many, many ways through the physicists. And the more one reads how they explain it, the less one knows what it really means. Actually, it is so, as far as I read it today, the question of entropy is now more a question with a question mark than something that is really a definite physical law. But as it stands now and as the term is used, we can say that entropy means, or let me first give a very crude example for entropy. It is perhaps Descartes' concept of the universe that he regarded the material universe as a big clock, and that God Almighty at one time long ago has wound up that clock. And then he retrieved and let that clock go, run down slowly, 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 until finally the universe will run down slowly until it comes to the point of absolute death. That's a very crude definition or symbol. It means that in the material world, the theory is, the law is, in the second law of thermodynamics, that the differentiation that exists will always be lesser and lesser and lesser until there comes a point called heat death where there is no more any differentiation, where there is no more any exchange of power or action or temperature or anything like that. No differentiation is complete disorder. And that's the point of complete entropy. Now you see, it's the very opposite concept than evolution. Evolution is a concept that things always rise higher and higher, which means that things always have more and more information, that it's always more and more complex, that complexity rises and rises, and the more it rises, the more we have a sense of an evolution rising higher and higher. Just as you see perhaps in the organic universe, that the organic universe started with a very simple one-cell organism, and that from that one-cell organism, through differentiation, through further structuring, higher structuring, it became more complex structure, higher structure, until finally from that one cell, just being that one cell, you have an animal called man, a very funny animal called man, and that animal called man is somehow the interlink between the ape and the real man. But that is called evolution. You can see it is a constant constant unfoldment of higher complexities. A one-cell organism is not so complex as a human body, who has apparently a brain that thinks. Nowadays, it's a brain doesn't think anymore. But who has spirit, can entertain spiritual value, moral value, can entertain abstract ideas, and things like that. You see, there is a constant growth. So, cybernetics seems to be that law today that is governing evolution, that is spiraling up constantly an ever rising structuring of what has been held before, so that a structure within itself has the scene for higher structuring. That we do not have to add higher structure, just as we have seen an atom suddenly, through adding other atoms, becomes a molecule. And molecule comes to a platform, comes to a certain optimum where it becomes a cell, etc. So if we understand divine cybernetics, then we can be sure that evolution will go on and that there will be no entropy in the evolution of man. There may be entropy in the material universe, but not in the real universe, in the spiritual universe. That seems to be no more possible. And this is what these big scientists are expressing. I saw on the TV about half a year ago, I saw an interview all on the optimistic scientists in California. It was a most interesting interview. They showed Harman, they showed Salk, they showed Prigogine, Wheeler, Capra, and so on, some more, and they all show on the basis of new science that through the law of evolution, of cybernetics, the world will have to evolve and cannot go the way of entropy. So this is quite a change in the consciousness of the old scientists that are now, through the paradigm shift, becoming New Scientist. You can see this happening in the Bible. Right at the beginning of the Bible, we get the cybernetic system, which shows that as evolution goes on through the 7 days of creation, that parallel to it, the false sense of entropy is being brought out and shown to be nothing, namely the second record of creation. The second record of creation, which gives the counterfeit picture of the 7 days of creation, that second record shows exactly in seventh stage how the material universe falls to bits, until finally Cain is cast out and sent into the land of Nod, into the land of randomness, of absolute undifferentiated state of things, where there is no more order. Nod means randomness, wilderness, dreamland, illusiveness, and that is really entropy. So we have two parallel developments taking place, which we know from the textbook anyway, that Mrs. Eddy will state in hundreds of different ways, in the measure that spiritualization takes place, in that measure materialism decays. There are not two independent evolutions. They are parallel, they are linked together. So this is the meaning, really, of the divine cybernetics.